ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय प्रतिष्ठस्तु गृहं पित्रौ परिष्वक्ता समाच्यदि वन्दे शिरसा सप्ता देवाकी प्रमुखा मुधा. After entering the house of his father, he was embraced by the mother's present, and the Lord offered his obeisances unto them by placing his head at their feet. The mothers were headed by Devaki, his real mother, purport. It appears that Vasudeva, the father of Lord Krishna, had completely separate residential quarters where he lived with his 18 wives, out of whom Srimati Devaki is the real mother of Lord Krishna. But in spite of all this, all the stepmothers were equally affectionate to him, as will be evident from the following verse. Lord Krishna also did not distinguish his real mothers from his stepmothers, and he equally offered his obeisances unto all the wives of Vasudeva present on the occasion. According to scriptures, there are seven mothers. One, the real mother. Two, the wife of the spiritual master. Three, the wife of the Brahmin. Four, the wife of the king. Five, the cow. Six, the nurse. And seven, the earth. All of them are mothers. Even by this injunction of the Shastras, the stepmother, who is the wife of the father, is also as good as the mother, because the father is also one of these spiritual masters. Lord Krishna, the Lord of the universe, plays the part of an ideal son just to teach others how to treat their stepmothers. Om Jnana Timurandasya Nananjana Shalakaya Daksurin Mulakam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan. I'm happy to be back here. And every single day I have a different group of people taking them out to the garden fields, mostly to have those indescribably delicious braja rotis. So we're following Krishna as he's leaving this wonderful mood of separation. The feelings of separation are also required in love, especially if love is to come to the level of rasa. The height of love requires that embankment of separation. And we're being introduced here, the first canto in the Bhagavatam, to Krishna. And we're aptly, very appropriately introduced to him right after the battlefield of Kurukshetra when he's leaving Hastinapur, now entering Dwarka. And we see the various affection of the various devotees and different relationships with him. And how they're responding to give us an idea of what our aspiration should be. We want to follow the devotees of the Lord. This term, anugata, to follow, is so important. One of the favorable characteristics of devotional service mentioned in Upadeshamrita is sitovrite, that we follow the footsteps of the great acharyas who have crossed the insurmountable ocean of material existence. And what's the insurmountable ocean of material existence? It's our attachments for karma and jnana. And despite the fact that karma, sense gratification, leads to such a misery, disconnects us from the soul, life after life, we're immersed in it, and we're still immersed in it. I'm still immersed in it. The challenges, the samskaras, to enjoy and control the world, the concomitant envy of those who appear to be superior to us. It just goes on and on and on and on. Bhutva, bhutva, paliyate. The world is created and destroyed, created and destroyed, created and destroyed. And the whole purpose, Prabhupada said, of the Vedic adventure is to catch the truth. It's to catch that truth. And it seems to be insurmountable because it's happening again and again, no matter how we try, until we get by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati katopi. So we're following Krishna, and of the great saints who help us cross that insurmountable ocean of material existence by the inspiration of their example, by seeing devotion embodied, to see how people actually achieve success in spiritual life, and to see what that looks like, the beauty of a surrendered soul. So here, as Krishna now, he left Hastinapur, he's now entering into Dwarka, we see the beauty of those affectionate relationships. He's entering the house, and he's embraced by his many mothers. And he's showing us how to deal. Even the Vedic culture showing us how to relate to others is just a preparatory state for teaching us how to relate to God. And give us also an aspiration to do so. So we're going to see the affection of his mothers. Next verse. Taputam ankamaro pyas nehas uta priodara harsha viva litatmana sashishchur netrajajalai. The mothers, after embracing their sons, sat him on their laps. Due to pure affection, milk sprang from their breasts. They were overwhelmed with delight, and tears from their eyes wetted the Lord. Purport. When Lord Krishna was at Vrindavan, even the cows would become moistened by affection towards him, and he would draw milk from the nipples of every affectionate living being. So what to speak of the stepmothers, who were already as good as his own mother. So we see the ecstasy. And remember before we were discussing, and this is kind of a foundational point, that we have love, it's called Rati, and it's Prema Ankur. Prema Bhakti is sprouting in our hearts. But Rasa is when it reaches its height. And when does love reach its height? By a combination of various emotional ingredients. And the conception of God is a connoisseur. A connoisseur is one who has fine tastes. Examples generally used in relationship to food, but it's also a generic term. And someone who's a connoisseur has high taste. So it's natural that God is a connoisseur. And what is he a connoisseur of? He's a connoisseur of love, perfect love, which has various ingredients. We discussed this before in terms of what Jiva Goswami said. Compared it to sweet rice, which requires the fire not being too hot or too, you know, requiring its rice not being too cooked or not cooked enough, the sugar being not too much, not too little, the spices, the milk being not too thick and not too thin. And when someone's a connoisseur, he adds all the combination of ingredients together, as we're talking about food, to make it perfect and relishable. So God enjoys perfect and relishable love. So here we see the mother's actions of love, anubhav, embracing, overwhelmed with delight, devachari, Bob's transitory emotions, that despair, jubilation, delight, fear, that add to the loving experience, that incite love to even reach new hearts and heights, and then the tears from the eyes, wedding the Lord. These are anubhavs, and embracing their son. And we're seeing what this vatsalya rasa is. Next verse. Atavisat subhavanam sarvakamananutavam prasara yakta patninam sahasrani chisodisa. Thereafter the Lord entered his palaces, which were perfect to the fullest extent. His wives lived in them, and they numbered over 16,000. Purport, Lord Krishna had 16,108 wives, and for each and every one of them, there was a fully equipped palace, complete with necessary compounds and gardens. Full descriptions of these palaces is given in the 10th canto. All the palaces were made of the best marble stone. They were illuminated by jewels and decorated by curtains and carpets of velvet and silk, nicely bedecked and embroidered with gold lace. Personality of God, it means one who is full with all power, all energy, all opulence, all beauty, all knowledge, all renunciation. Therefore, in the palaces of the Lord, there is nothing wanting for fulfilling all desires of the Lord. The Lord is unlimited, and therefore his desires are also unlimited, and the supply is also unlimited. Everything has been unlimited. It's concisely described here as sarva kaman, or fill with all desirable equipment. So it is perfect. God is perfect. Everything about him is perfect. and he has the full capacity to fulfill his own desires and to fulfill the desires of others. God is all powerful. God is all good. If he's not all powerful, he can't help you. And if he's not all good, he won't want to help you. Okay, next verse. Jatapatim Pajapatim Prosya Grihanupagatam Vilokya Sanjata Mano Mahotsava Utastar Arat Sahasa Sanasayat Sakam Vrata Vritata Lochananai. The queens of Lord Krishna rejoiced within their minds to see their husband home after a long period abroad. The queens got up at once from their seats and meditations. As was socially customary, they covered their faces shyly and looked about coyly. Purport. As mentioned above, the Lord entered his home, palaces, occupied by 16,108 queens. This means that the Lord at once expanded himself in as many plenary expansions as there were queens and palaces and entered into each and every one of them simultaneously and separately. Here is another manifestation of the feature of the Lord's internal potency. He can expand himself and is in as many forms of spiritual identity as he desires. Even though he is one without a second, it's confirmed by the Shruti mantra that the Absolute is one alone, and yet he becomes many as soon as he desires. So we see here different expansions of the Lord. And he expands for the purpose of his happiness, the basic principle. And because he's God, if you cooperate with him, then his happiness becomes your happiness, as the happiness of the hand is feeding the body. So, Eko Bahu Sham, the Lord is one, which means everything is within his energies. But for his pleasure, which is the pleasure he defines as pleasure, which is love of Godhead, which requires an exchange of love. When you want to enjoy love, which is the bhakti anand, it's the essence of God's bliss potency, is devotion. Then devotion, that type of pleasure, has to come to you from outside. That's what prema is. Prema is the energy. It's an energy between two objects in devotion. Just like we went the other day, I took Raghunath and his family, and I think her name is, I think Emily, I forgot, from upstate New York. And they all had their three kids there. And we went to get the Brijvasi rotis, and just as we were sitting, they ran outside. They ran, the one young of the sons or grandson came running in, and then Sridhar, the grandfather or the father of the family, went running. We didn't know what happened. We didn't know it all happened, so after a while, we just went and followed. And we saw that at that moment, a calf was born. It was really big, too, but it was an amazing, amazing thing to see. Because as soon as the calf was born, the cow started to intensely and affectionately lick the calf. Intensely. Because I'm from Brooklyn, and I've never really lived on farms. It was actually the first time I saw that. And licked it so affectionately. And then immediately the calf got up with great struggle and started to search for the milk bed. So there's a relationship there. And that relationship has a natural energy. The energy between two people in relationship is called love. There's an energy there, and it's natural. And in the same way, we have a natural relationship with God. And when we get free from ignorance, Maya, which makes things look like they're separate from Him, and we realize God, then there's the piyojana, there's the result. The result is that we see God everywhere, we feel God everywhere, and what is that feeling? That feeling is love. It's a natural feeling. But it requires an exchange, and therefore the Supreme Lord to enjoy Eko Bahu Sham, the one becomes many. And because it's in relationship to the activity of God, and God is not under time, it's not a historical moment. It's an eternal moment. Eku Bahu Sham. It's not that at one time God was not also many. He's eternally many. But it coincides with this existential desire to enjoy love, which requires an energy to come from outside you, to you, and ultimately within you. So, immediately we see that Krishna expands. Because he has different flavors of love. Prabhupada already said that variety is the spice of life. He said you have milk, that's something. You have sugar, that's something. But look at, Prabhupada said, look at all the ways in which you can enjoy it. You can have sweet, rubbery, sandesh, pera. So many different things. Could be yogurt, shrikant, misti dahi. So many things can be made. So variety is the spice of life. And God is the supreme enjoyer, and he enjoys a variety of loves. And various loves require different objects of love. The parent requires a child. The servant requires a master. The friend requires an equal. The parents require a junior. Conjugal require archetypally the opposite sex in an intimate relationship. Some intimacy. So God also expands. And he expands to reciprocate with each and every devotee. Here, now the queens, they're seeing their husband home. These manifold expansions of the Supreme Lord are manifested as plenary and separated portions. The separated portions are representations of his energy, and the plenary portions are manifestations of his personality. So God is expanding, and he has plenary portions, and then he has plenary expansions. The plenary portions are manifested as God, and the separated portions are his energies. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested himself in 16,108 plenary expansions and simultaneously entered into each and every one of the palaces of the queens. This is called Vaibhav, or the transcendental potency of the Lord. Because he can do so, he's also known as Yogeshwar. Ordinarily, a yogi or mystic living being is able to expand himself at utmost up to tenfold expansions of his body. But the Lord can do to the extent of as many thousands or infinitely as he likes. Someone asked me the question. One Catholic says to another, or that the inquiry was, how many angels can sit on the tip of a pen? And the answer is, many as God wants. So this is what God wants. And it's so reasonable conception. God wants love. Everyone is valuing love. God wants love. And when God wants love, he gets love. Immediately, the different people in relationship with him are manifest. Unbelievers become astonished to learn that Lord Krishna married more than 16,000 queens because they think of Lord Krishna as one of them and measure the potency of the Lord by their own limited potency. We should know, therefore, that the Lord is never on the level of the living beings who are but expansions of his marginal potency, and one should never equalize the potency and the potent. Although there is very little difference of quality between the potent and the potency. The queens were also expansions of his internal potency, and thus the potent and potencies are perpetually exchanging transcendental pastimes known as the pastimes of the Lord. That is the absolute truth. When Vyasadeva, after being chastised by Narada, sat in meditation to write the Bhagavatam, then what's that verse? Oh boy. Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Paniyate Mala Pashyat Purusham Purnam Maya Chitara Pasaya. Maya Chitara Pasriyam means he saw God, God's energy under God's control, but ultimately he saw within that energy, he saw the pastimes of Krishna. One should therefore not become astonished to learn that the Lord married so many wives. On the contrary, one should affirm that even if the Lord marries 16,000 million wives, he is not completely manifesting his unlimited and exhaustive potency. That's what God means. He married only 16,000 wives and entered into each and every one of the different palaces just to impress in the history of the human beings on the surface of the earth that the Lord is never equal or any less to any living being. However powerful he may be, no one therefore can be equal or greater than the Lord. The Lord is always great in all respects. God is great as eternal truth. That's what God means. That being of which no greater can be conceived. So he has unlimited beauty that's always expanding. And it's very, very alluring to inspire one to surrender to Krishna. Therefore, as soon as the queen saw from a distance their husband, who was away from home for long periods due to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they all arose from the slumber of meditation and prepared to receive their most beloved Lord. According to Yajnavalkya's religious injunctions, a woman whose husband is away from home should not take part in any social functions, should not decorate her body, should not laugh, and should not go to the relative's house in any circumstance. This is the vow of ladies whose husbands are away from home. At the same time, it is also enjoined that a wife should never present herself before the husband in an unclean state. She must decorate herself with ornaments and good dress and should always be present before the husband in a happy and joyful mood. The queens of Lord Krishna were all in meditation, thinking of the Lord's absence, and were always meditating on him. The Lord's devotees cannot live for a moment without meditating on the Lord. And what to speak of the queens, who are all goddesses of fortune, incarnating as queens in the pastimes of the Lord at Dwarka. They can never be separated from the Lord, either by presence or by trance. The gopis of Vrindavan cannot forget the Lord. And when the Lord was away in the forest cowherding, when the Lord boy Krishna was absent in the village, the gopis at home used to worry about him transversing the ground with his soft lotus feet. By thinking thus, they were sometimes overwhelmed in trance and mortified in the heart. Such is the condition of the pure associates of the Lord. They're always in trance, and so the queens also in trance during the absence of the Lord. Presently, having seen the Lord from a distance, they at once gave up all their engagements, including the vows of woman, as described above. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there is a regular psychological reaction on the occasion. First of all, rising from their seats, although they wanted to see their husbands, they were deterred because of feminine shyness. But due to strong ecstasy, they overcame the stage of weakness and being caught up with the idea of praising the Lord. And this thought actually made them unconscious of their surrounding environment. This prime state of ecstasy annihilated all of the formalities and social conventions, and thus they escaped all stumbling blocks on the path of meeting the Lord. And that is the perfect stage of meeting the Lord of the soul, Sri Krishna. You know, somehow or other, my habit now is to get up extremely early. Extremely means sometimes midnight, maybe 1 o'clock, 1:30. And I went out today across the Jamuna, and I walked to Lakshmivan. And Lakshmivan is the place where the goddess Lakshmi is performing austerities. It's such a quaint, beautiful ashram right on the bank of the Jamuna with these ancient kulpavriksha trees. And then we went to this huge goshala that had evidently something to do with Kamarupa. And the ground was just dust and cow dung mixed, and we rolled in that dust. We walked through the pristine villages of Vrindavan, where people have a simple life, but it doesn't seem that people have to work 16 hours a day. Seems like they work at home, and they peaceful, happy lives. But anyway, we walked all the way there. It's about an hour walk, and then we walked back, and then I came and took lunch and gave my class. So right now, actually, when I was reading, I actually couldn't even see the page. So somehow or other, I didn't have time for a nap, so I'm pretty exhausted, which I don't mind, but I can't think straight. But if anybody would like to say hello, then we can end the session for today. And by next week, I'll make sure not to go out on Sunday, because it's just too much. Anybody like to say hello? That would be nice.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Missing you in Braja.
Oh, we're missing too.
Yeah. Anybody else like to say? On one other, who's that? Hi, Bo.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is it? Who is that?
Chaitanya Priya.
Chaitanya Priya, Haribo. You know, what I'm going to do now, as soon as we finish this chapter, I'm going to prepare the Dhruva Maharaj Katha, because I'm really studying it now. I'm giving the class every day in Vrindavan. I think that will really, because I have all my notes on each verse I'm taking every morning. I'm studying that. So, and next Sunday, I'll just have to take a nap. Anybody else like to say hello before I sign off?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj Krishna.
Who is this? Who is it? I heard Lee, I think, and who else?
And Bree.
Who?
Kishore.
Kishore, okay. Okay.
Kishore.
Anyway,
yeah.
I think Priya, great. Okay, I think I have to take rest now, and I have to get up at 1:30 in the morning. So we'll just skip out to today. But thanks. We'll figure out how to do this. Fun Shukopa Tubis.